Good evening. Welcome again to this time when, in the Lord's Day, we gather together around His Word and we seek His face as He talks to us through the Scriptures. Before we begin our exposition this evening, I just would like to express my gratitude to all those who have been sending me cards and notes, encouraging me to do these videos. I love this congregation. I feel really blessed that the Lord has given me the honor and the privilege of ministering to Messiah's Independent Reform, to ministering to you. So please, thank you very much. Receive my gratitude for, again, all the cards and the notes and the emails that I have been receiving from our members with encouragement and with, as well, words of gratitude. Thank you very much. It is a blessing to me to be serving you. I would like as well to express my gratitude to some kids who have been sending me some sermon notes that they are taking as they're listening to these expositions. So here are they. I'll try to make them available here in the screen. But I received these notes this past week through the regular mail. And I am, I have to say, this lit my heart. So thank you kids very much for this. You really made this pastor's heart beat a little faster and a little stronger. This is a wonderful recompense. This is indeed a wonderful encouragement. And thank you for you, and thank you as well, parents, who are struggling with your kids, who are encouraging your kids to listen carefully to these expositions. I know that this whole activity is not exactly the ideal. I know that it is hard to keep the attention and to keep the focus sometimes, but I really want to express my gratitude to all you parents who do have kids in their homes and are striving to make this time a time of spiritual profit for them as well. So thank you very, very much. Well, before we begin our exposition tonight, I have again three Psalter hymnal selections that are appropriate for this sermon. The first one is Selection 267. Selection 267, All Who With Heart Confiding. The second one is Selection 463. Selection 463, He Leadeth Me. And the third one is 424, Selection 424, Just As I Am Without a Plea. So together they are Selection 267, 463, and 424. Again, I'll make available here at the bottom of the video in the description area the links to those three specific selections, and you'll be able to click and sing along here with the YouTube platform as well. So, having this all in place, let us now turn our attention to selection, to Luke. Let's go back to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 5. This morning we considered the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, we consider Luke chapter 5. We return to our series of sermons in the Gospel of Luke. And we focus specifically on verses 12 through 16. Verses 12 through 16 of Luke chapter 5 as we continue our series of sermons in this Gospel. Hear now the word of the Lord. And it happened when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go on and show yourself to the priest, and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Thus far, this reading of God's holy word. Let us pray together. Our almighty God who abides in heaven, we thank you once again for your holy day. And we thank you, Father, for once again granting us the opportunity to get together around your word and to be fed by you, to be encouraged by you, to be confronted by you. Father, we come before you this day really longing to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ once again. As we consider this text, Father, help us to love our Savior even more. But help us as well, Lord, to search our souls as you instruct us in the Scriptures. Remove the blindfold of our eyes so that we may see the beauty of your law. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. Well, very often I remark different characteristics of the culture in different countries. And tonight I would like to remark one specific aspect of Brazilian culture, which is taking showers. Brazilians love to take showers. And I don't know if it is a matter of enjoying showers or if it is because Brazil is a tropical country and it's very, very hot. But there were times in my life when I would have to take 3 showers a day. One in the morning before going to work, one in the afternoon as I would go back to work from home after lunch, and one in the evening as I would go back from work and go get ready to go to sleep. So 3 showers a day, can you imagine that? And the main reason why, it's because of the tropical climate. It is very hot in Brazil, especially in the region where I come from. And therefore, as you would be going to and fro, you would get sweaty and sticky very easily. The discomfort of being dirty and of being, again, sticky with the sweat would necessarily lead you to the desire of taking a shower, of using a soap, and get rid of all that sense of dirtiness. Is that how you feel in the hot days of summer here in Michigan, here in Holland? Right now, it's not that hot, but summer is coming, and those hot, sticky days are awaiting for us. Is that exactly how you feel when you get dirty? You just desire to be clean all over again. And when you go back home, you run to the shower, and there you are. You refresh yourself water and getting cleansed all over again. You see, it's not only when we get dirty that we desire to be cleansed. It's also when we get sick with leprosy. And that's exactly what we see here in this text. We see a man who was obligated by law, by the law of the Old Testament, to announce his leprosy by calling himself unclean, unclean, announcing his presence as someone unclean in the midst of the people. And he sees Jesus, and he sees in that opportunity the moment for his cleansing, the moment for him not to take a regular shower with water and soap, but a moment for him to be cleansed by divine power. Christian, is that what you desire? Is that what you want? To be cleansed by divine power? Well, as we turn our attention together to this text this evening, we'll clearly understand that divine cleansing is something that we should be wishing for. Divine cleansing is something that we should be craving more than regular showers. For divine cleansing heals us, restores us, and brings much glory to our Lord and Savior. We should be extremely interested. We should be craving. We should not be waiting for a warm, hot, sticky weather to get this shower. Divine cleansing heals us, restores us, and brings much glory to our Savior and Lord. Well, as we turn our attention to the text, we'll notice in verses 12 and 13 that divine cleansing heals us thoroughly. The text begins by describing this man full of leprosy. Here we have Dr. Luke giving this short remark, but so profound. From top to bottom, from head to toe, this man is full of leprosy, says the text. And please keep in mind that leprosy in biblical times was really a fatal disease. It is still fatal, but several kinds, I would say the majority kinds of leprosy do already have in modern times a cure or a treatment, but not in biblical times. In biblical times, to be a leper would mean death. To be a leper would mean that you would be a zombie, a living dead walking around. Well, first of all, you would be a living dead because your body would be disfigured. Leprosy would eat you up. And here again, this man is full of leprosy from head to toe. But not only your body would be affected, also your psychological would be destroyed. You see, because of leprosy, you would not only feel the dirtiness in your skin and the feeling of being unclean, you also would have to be separated from society, separated from your family, separated from the worship of God. You see, we're really suffering right now in this quarantine, aren't we? To being locked in the home. Boys and girls, I know it's really hard for you to be limited perhaps only to your backyard. You would like to go to a friend's house and you can't. You would like to go to a specific place. You would like to be here at church and you can't. This quarantine is a very hard situation, isn't it? Now imagine a life in quarantine. Imagine a whole existence in quarantine. That's exactly what a leper would experience. Now, although this man is full of leprosy, as we see in verse 12, we also notice that he is full of faith. This leper is full of faith. And he expresses this faith, first of all, breaking social convention. Notice that in verse 12, the text places the Lord Jesus in a city. Lepers could not be on cities. Again, they would have to live in this eternal, everlasting quarantine for their entire lives. A very tragical situation. But now, this leper, full of faith, he breaks into the city. The text doesn't say that he announces himself. It just says that he sees Jesus and he goes to him. Jesus is in the city. The leper saw him. The leper cares about nothing. The leper doesn't care about offending people. The leper doesn't care about not pleasing people. The leper doesn't care about even risking his own life. People could kill him to get rid of him, but he doesn't care. He just runs to Christ. What a faith. This is the kind of faith that we ought to experience. True faith, Christian, is just like what we see this leper doing. When we do have true faith, we don't care about others. We don't care about pleasing people. We don't care about what the damage is going to be if we express our faith, devotion, and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is all that matters. That's true faith. And that's exactly what this leper presents here. Now, we also see that he's full of faith because he casts himself at the feet of Christ. Look again at the end of verse 12. The text says that he falls on his face and he implores Christ for help. He begs. In this begging, he acknowledges that he is unclean. He acknowledges his sickness. You see that this leper is not in some sort of denial. He fully acknowledges that he is full of leprosy and that he needs help. And that he needs divine help. He doesn't need any of the popular healers of the time. He needs help from Christ. And he begs for it. He trusts in the power of Jesus. Isn't it interesting to note that he's not sure if Jesus is going to help him. But he's sure that Jesus can help him. He doesn't doubt the power of Jesus. but he's just not sure if that's Jesus' will. And notice that he doesn't express any rebellion. He just casts himself at the mercy of Christ. A man full of leprosy, and yet full of faith. And in verse 13, we see a Savior full of mercy. Full of mercy. For Jesus also breaks social convention. You see, he touches the leper. We all know that Jesus could simply speak a word and that man would be cleaned, but no, he touches the leper, expressing his affection, his sympathy. He knows the suffering of that man. He knows all the difficulties that that man had experienced, both physical and psychological. And therefore, the Lord Jesus extends something that that leper, for years perhaps, for decades, have never felt: a touch. But not a regular touch, a healing touch, a divine thought. And so this touch is, with this touch, the Lord Jesus also issues a declaration. He expresses his willingness, and he also exercises his power. At the end of verse 13, we read the Lord Jesus saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And the text says that immediately, the leprosy left him. And so, do you see, Christian, what happens when we experience divine cleansing? Divine cleansing heals us thoroughly. A man who is full of leprosy, according to the text, now is completely clean because of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, one of the main aspects of this text that should really capture our attention is the power of Jesus to clean people. You see, leprosy is frequently associated in the Word of God as a symbol, and it's frequently associated with sin. Christ is here exhibiting his power, showing that he has control over disease, that he can cure people. But most of all, the text really points us to this cleansing power of Jesus, regardless of how deep, of how extreme, of how serious is the dirtiness, of how serious is the condition. The power of the Lord Jesus is infinite. And he's not only powerful, but he's willing to cleanse people, to cleanse sinners who comes to him in submission, in humility, seeking his mercy, seeking his face. Christian, is that who you are? What kind of cleansing are you in need? Perhaps you are listening to me tonight and you are needing cleansing from a troubled heart, from a troubled conscience. Or perhaps you're needing cleansing from an impure imagination, from inappropriate thoughts, or from wicked and impure eyes. Perhaps you need cleansing and relief for a troubled heart because of the loss of a beloved one, because of some sort of disappointment. Whatever is that which is dirtying you, whatever it is that may be making you feel like a leper, if it is your sin, if it is the trouble of your heart, if it is the impurity of your eyes, be assured of this tonight. The Lord Jesus has the power and the willingness to heal sinners who come to him begging and humiliating themselves for his divine cleansing, for his divine help. Oh, may that be you tonight. May you indeed not only look at verses 12 and 13 and marvel at the power that Jesus has to clean, to cleanse a leper. But may you also be willing, just like this leper was, to humiliate yourself and come before the Lord Jesus Christ and to be cleansed by him. For he can cleanse us, and he can grant us relief, and he can make us completely pure. Well, as we move on to the text, we notice that divine cleansing not only heals us thoroughly, divine cleansing also restore our lives. You see, through the healing touch of Jesus, He not simply makes us new, but He gives us a completely new life. He renews our existence. He restores our life. And we see now in verse 14 that Jesus commands this man to offer sacrifices. The text says that He asked this man to tell nobody. And again, Jesus is not trying to attract much attention for Himself. This is the beginning of His ministry. And He desires to go from city to city. Obviously, He understands that the more attention He gathers, the more people will desire for Him to stay around, for Him to stick in those cities. And He wants to go and to preach to the most people that He can preach to. But something really striking in verse 14 should capture our attention is that the Lord Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the law, tells these men to keep the law, to keep the ceremonial law, the law of Moses. He says that he should go to the temple and show himself to the priest and make the proper offerings. And it's interesting because you see this expression here as a testimony to them. What is Jesus doing here? Why is Jesus commanding these men to keep the law of Moses when He Himself is the fulfillment of the law? Well, two things really should capture our attention. The first one is that Jesus is showing high regard for the Mosaic law. And perhaps you're speedily going to say, well, you know, obviously Jesus is in the time when the law, the Mosaic law is still in activity, is still being kept, and that is indeed true. But it's more than that. The Lord Jesus showed regard for the law of Moses because He Himself gave that law. Yes, He is going to be the priest, our high priest, who offers a perfect sacrifice to cleanse us thoroughly at the cross of Calvary. And yet, until that moment, until when that exactly takes place, what we see here is the Lord Jesus having a high regard for the Mosaic law. But more than a high regard for the Mosaic law, what Jesus really is showing here, especially because of this expression as a testimony, is that Jesus wants the life of that man to be restored. Now, to understand this, we need to go all the way back to Leviticus 13 and 14. Perhaps we could read those two chapters after our exposition. In Leviticus 13 and 14, you would have the Mosaic ceremonial legislation regarding lepers. There you would have all the guidances or the directions of how lepers should be treated, how lepers should behave, and how could they be restored into society. Again, leprosy was frequently associated with sin, and leprosy has been in the scriptures used as a symbol of sin. And therefore, Leviticus 13 and 14 demanded that for that man to be received, to be readmitted into society, that he should offer the proper sacrifices. And that he should have the word of a priest saying, yes, you are clean. So after listening the words of the priest, the declaration of the priest, and after offering the proper sacrifices, then that man could be readmitted to society. So do you see what Jesus is doing here in verse 14? In verse 14, the Lord Jesus is not simply expressing His respect for the law of Moses. That is there. But the Lord Jesus Christ is showing love for the life of that leper. And He desires for that leper to have his life restored again. To have his life given back to Him. Well, you see, first of all, the religious life of that man had been taken away for the leprosy. He couldn't go into the temple. Being declared cleaned, if they, as again we read in verse 14, would give the testimony that that man was clean, that man could be readmitted into the temple. He would be readmitted into God's presence. He would again listen the reading of God's word and the songs, and he could also offer sacrifice all over again. He would be able to worship with God's people and able to have communion with God. But along with the restoration of religious life, that testimony would also restore his social life. He would be readmitted into living among the people of God. Life in community would again be experienced by this leper. He would have his contact restored with his family. He would have his contact restored with his friends. The life of this man would be completely restored. Do you see now, Christian, why Jesus wants this man to receive this specific, to proceed with this specific ceremony? He wants this man to go to the temple and to get this testimony coming from the priest so that his life would be restored. And that's exactly what divine cleansing grants us, isn't it? Divine cleansing heals us thoroughly. It heals all maladies of the soul. It erases all effects of sin in us. It is powerful. And divine healing also restores our lives. Divine healing also brings us back into communion with God, not through the declaration of any priest, but through the declaration of the high priest in heaven, to our heavenly priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself offers him, his body, his blood as a sacrifice for us. Let us understand tonight that Jesus is concerned in restoring real life to sinners. Christian, isn't that exactly what happened with you? If you're listening to me tonight and you have come begging for life in the presence of Christ, you have come before Him asking Him to bless you and to heal you, asking Him to save your soul, moved by the Spirit, if you came before Him with full humiliation, you have experienced not only cleansing, but now, because of this high priest, access has been granted to you to the Lord once again. Not in a temple, but in the heavenly courts. The Lord God now receives you. And as we read in the book of Hebrews, we can boldly come into the presence of God Almighty, all because of this divine healing that we received through the blood of Christ. He restored our life with the Father. He restored our existence with our great God. But He has also restored our life socially, hasn't He? He has brought us back into the community of the Father, into the community of God's people. That's why the church is so important. Because the church is part of this divine healing. The church is part of this process of us experiencing a full restoration of life. That's why you should be longing for the restoration of worship, for when we can gather together once again, because it is exactly when the people of God is together that we experience the effects of this blessed cleansing that comes from Christ. Perhaps you're listening to me tonight and you're not in Christ. I don't care what kind of life you have. Perhaps you feel that you're very happy. Perhaps you feel that you're very fulfilled. Perhaps you don't feel anything missing and you don't feel unclean. Well, this text proclaims to you that you are. I don't care the kind of life you have, but I can tell you right now that you don't have life at all. Because it is only through the cleansing of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is only when lepers such as yourself come before the Lord Jesus Christ begging for mercy, it is only when people like you acknowledge their sins through the regeneration that comes from the Spirit, and you come before Christ, that's when you experience true life. So make no mistake. Regardless of how pleasant this life has been to you, you're nothing but a leper. And your leprosy is going to eat you up. The leprosy of your sin is going to destroy not only your body, but also your soul at the last day. You should be craving for divine cleansing. You should be craving for your life to be truly restored. Perhaps you think you're having a great time in this world, but the leprosy of your soul, the leprosy of your sin, keeps you away from God and keeps you away from the people of God. And that's not life. That's death. Repent. Do like this leper. Come to Christ, begging for mercy. For divine cleansing heals us thoroughly. Divine cleansing restores our lives. But lastly, as we come to the end of this text, in verse 15, we notice that divine cleansing heals our soul and brings glory to Christ. Divine cleansing also brings glory to Christ. In verse 16, we notice that the Lord Jesus, again, is withdrawing Himself to the wilderness to pray. And this is the second time, perhaps, that we have Luke expressing the same idea, that the Lord Jesus is seeking to be isolated. What a good reminder for us that if the Lord Jesus Christ needed prayer, and if the Lord Jesus Christ needed this time of communion with His Father, so much more do we need that. This is a wonderful reminder for us of the main what the Lord Jesus is seeking. Christ is seeking communion with His Father. Christ is seeking His glory. Christ is seeking to be obedient to Him. That's why He is now withdrawing to this private places, seeking this kind of communion. And we need that as well. We should not be seeking to live for our own glory, for our own satisfaction. Just like our Lord Jesus, the reason why He cleansed us and restore us and heal us and gives us back life is not that we would glorify ourselves, but that we should seek the glory of God and should seek communion with our Heavenly Father. But in verse 15, we notice that that's exactly what happened when people is cleansed by Christ. It is just unavoidable. You know, when you go into a shower, and when you turn on the faucet, it is unavoidable that you're going to get wet, isn't it? Even if you don't jump, you know, into the water itself, but as the water is falling down, you get those drops. You're going to get wet. Same thing with the cleansing that comes from Christ. There's no way that someone will be cleansed and will not redound in glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 15. Despite of the Lord Jesus' charge to that man to tell no one, people got to know Him more and more. Now, the text doesn't say that the leper was disobedient. Contrary to other circumstances, you do remember the blind man who was healed. And instead of obeying Christ, he disobeyed the Lord Jesus Christ's command of not saying anything to anybody, and went on proclaiming His healing through the streets. No, the text doesn't say anything about that on the leper, but look again in verse 15. It says, the report went around concerning him all the more. Well, as this leper obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ and came to the temple and offered the sacrifices and got the declaration from the Levite there, from the priest there, that he was cleansed, that he could go back to religious life and to communal life, to social life. Well, obviously people would say, well, wait a second. Wasn't that the leper? Or who is that man? For 40 years, for 30 years, I haven't seen that man around here. Isn't he a leper anymore? What happened with him? I mean, it's obvious that the report would go around. But more than that, the report goes around. And look at the text. People come to Jesus because they want to hear Him as well. You see, that's what happens when we are cleansed by Christ. He heals us thoroughly. He removes all the impurities of our souls. He removes all the putrid things of our hearts. He makes us a new dwelling for the Spirit. He also restores our life. He brings us back to the Father. He opens the gates of heaven to us. He grants us presence in the presence of the Father. He grants us access to the presence of the Father. And as we experience all these things through this divine cleansing, as we interact in this world, as we live and speak and do business and walk around, it's just unavoidable that our existence will not bring glory to Christ. That's a natural, necessary consequence of divine healing. Otherwise, divine healing would not be powerful at all. Divine healing would not be effective. You see, those who claim to have experienced divine healing, those who profess to have experienced the divine touch of Christ, but show nothing of that in their lives, they are liars. As the Apostle John says in the letters, the truth is not in them. The consequence that naturally happens when we experience divine cleansing is that we will bring glory to our Savior and Lord. Divine cleansing heals us. Divine cleansing restores us. And divine cleansing brings much glory to our Savior and Lord, to the point that people now want to know what happened with you and where can I get that? That's what's happening here. You see, Christian, just as leprosy is contagion, so is healing. So is divine healing. Is that what you're experiencing in your life? As you have professed for so long now that you are a believer, you have received covenant baptism, you have been partaking of the supper, can people see divine healing in your heart? Can people see that you were a leper and now you are fully clean because of the transformative power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can it be seen in your home? Does your wife see that? Does your husband see that? Do your parents see the cleansing? You see, it's not enough to profess. It's not enough to use your words. It's not enough to be able to articulate. It's necessary humiliation and true acknowledgement of dirtiness. It is necessary the divine healing touch of Christ. And when those things happen, then the way we live out our lives will necessarily bring glory to Christ. For as we live, and as we walk, and as we speak, and as we interact, we will exhibit such cleansing. The cleansing has powerful effects. It transforms our words. It transforms the way we treat others. It changes what is precious for us, what values much for us. And when people see us, they want to know what's different. Christian, how are you living? Are you living as someone who has been divinely healed by Christ? Is that what people perceive around you? Or is it a pain for so many when you are around? There's no evidence of transformation. You carry a Bible with you all the time. You can recite verses of the Bible or even questions of the catechism. Perhaps you even teach Sunday school. But in your day-to-day, in the way you treat your kids, in the way you interact in your workplace, there is no evidence of cleansing. Is that who you are? Search yourself tonight. Because if this is who you are, you're still a leper. It doesn't matter how many years you have been at church. It doesn't matter how many communions you have taken. The cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that comes down from the cross have not touched you yet. And you need to repent. You need to come before the Lord Jesus Christ claiming the same thing that this leper did. I am unclean. Cleanse me, if you will. See, the good news is that the Lord Jesus is always willing and is all powerful to cleanse sinners who come before Him, humiliating themselves, acknowledging their dirtiness, and seeking cleansing in Him. Oh, may that be you tonight. But this is also a word of encouragement, isn't it? Because so many times we think that the Christian life is all about theory and not about practice. If you are indeed experiencing the cleansing of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, what a great news that is for you tonight. If you walk around and people really desire to know who you are and to know who taught you, what a great evidence that is, that the cleansing blood of Jesus has indeed bathed you, has indeed removed all the dirtiness, and you are now a new creature for the glory of God. Oh, may we all desire to be just like this. Through the divine healing that we have received, may we bring much glory to our Savior. For divine healing, divine cleansing, heal us, restores us, and bring much glory to our Savior and Lord. Let us pray together. Great God in heaven, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for cleansing us. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful for Your cleansing touch, and for touching us and removing all impurities from our souls. Father, we come before You praying that You would help us to search ourselves. Help us, O Lord, to really detect if we have experienced this healing touch. For those who are listening now and are living double lives, O Lord, I pray that You would be merciful with them, that You would open their eyes, that they would see, O Lord, how filthy they are, how full of leprosy they are, and how that leprosy is eating them up. Bring them unto repentance, I pray. Make them, O Lord, indeed feel the healing touch of Christ, if that's Your will. And Lord, help us to bring much glory to Yourself, we pray, as we have been divinely touched, as we have been spiritually cleansed. Help us to indeed attract many to Yourself through the way we speak, through the way we act, as we interact with others, and as we conduct our business, as we treat our spouses, as we educate our kids. Lord, may all these things demonstrate how clean we are in Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you once again for being here with me tonight. And let us once again go back to Hebrews chapter 13 and read this blessed benediction. The text says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." I see you soon.